It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Joel Keane and directed by Max Hutto. Before our story, here are Fibber and Molly with a word for you.
I saw that new neighbor of ours down at the grocery store today, Molly.
You mean the young mother across the way? The one with the three children?
The very same. Boy, you should have seen her buying up the place.
Really?
Baby food, cereals, 4 quarts of milk. Says she shops that way every day.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. With three growing youngsters, the food and clothing bills get bigger right along with them. And so does a mother's responsibilities, too. I guess that's why so many dads are making sure their wives will have extra money during those budget-busting years through a Prudential Family Income Plan.
You see, friends, if anything happens to you, the Family Income Plan will pay your family an income every month while the kids are growing up, money they'll need for food, clothing, and schooling. And because it provides this helping hand to you mothers only during your youngsters' tot to teenage years, it costs amazingly little. You can take it from us, if you've got growing children, it's time you called your Prudential agent about a family income plan for your family. You couldn't make a wiser move.
Were you around last night when Mr. McGee got the word that his raffle ticket had won a brand new $4,000 automobile? Boy, what an uproar. Reason for all the bedlam was, Mr. McGee had sold shares in this raffle ticket to all his friends, see? And by the time the drawing was held, he only owned about 10% of it.
13%! I own 13% of it, John. Let's not make it any worse than it is. My gosh.
I'll have to agree that it is a real giant home economy-sized mess, all right.
You said it is. I only just practically gave away most of a $4,000 convertible. That's what I only just prepped.
There's no use fretting about it anymore. Cheer up. After all, this is not so bad. The main thing is you won, and even part of an expensive car like that is worth money.
Yeah, but all them other guys are in it with me, and that kind of...
Break it down for me again. How does the lineup of stockholders go?
You got a cold, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, to begin with, the ticket cost me $10.
That I know.
So I sold Doc Gamble $5 worth of it.
That makes him a half owner.
Les Nelson put in $3. Wally Wimple owns 45 cents worth. Teeny chiseled in for 2 bits worth. And your knuckle-headed stoop of a pigeon husband is the disgusted owner of only $1.30 worth of a winning ticket, which, if I hadn't got cold feet after I bought it and tried to get my $10 back out of it, I'd have been sole owner of that car right now instead of with 4 other guys, and I thought I heard the back door close.
You did, Johnny. Grocery boy! Hi, daughter.
Hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi.
Your sad story touches me deeply, son. Very pathetic. Would you mind running through it again for me?
Ah.
Part I liked was that knuckle-headed stoop of a pigeon husband part. Do that again. You done that good.
Please, Mr. Oldtimer, he's not in the mood today.
Okay, daughter, just making conversation. I was over at the auto agency this morning and seen your new car, Johnny. Yours and Doc's and Teeny and Lester Nelson and Wally Wimple's and yours. New car. Mighty pretty.
Yep.
How you gonna split it up, kids? With a hacksaw?
No, they're all having a stockholders meeting in a little while down in Dr. Gamble's office to decide.
Yep. When we get the stockholders meeting started, I got several plans all worked out to settle this thing.
Several plans,
yep.
Huh?
Oh, yes. They run all the way from Plan A, where McGee offers to buy everybody else out by giving them twice what they put into the raffle ticket, to Plan X, where he takes his coat off and invites them to step out in the alley one at a time.
Well, if you get down that part, Johnny, where you step outside with them, watch out for that little Teeny. She kicks something fierce.
Ah, that's only for an emergency plan, X is.
Well, I hope you make out better than Papa did, Johnny. The time he held the winning ticket in a raffle back home.
Well, I gotta go downtown, so...
There was a feller run a furniture store back home, and he had a big raffle, 10 cents a chance.
Yeah.
The prize, it says on the ticket, was a beautiful, large, blonde secretary.
Blonde secretary? For a raffle prize?
That's a piece of furniture, McGee.
Oh.
Blonde walnut or blonde oak, right, Mr. Oldtimer?
That's exactly the way Papa explained it to Mama when he bought $17 worth of tickets, daughter. But when he won and they brung his prize to the house, turned out it wasn't furniture at all. This blonde secretary was the real McCoy.
No kidding. A real one, huh?
Yes, sir, and a humdinger. Mama took one look at her with her painted face and her rolled-down hose, and she says to Papa, "Papa," she says, "there ain't room in this house for both of us. One of us has got to go."
Who went?
Papa. I think I'll go, too. Well, good luck with your raffle meeting, kid. So long.
Bye.
So long.
There's more fun with the McGee's shortly.
For skin that's clear and extra clean, use Dial, Dial, Dial. Complexions love this mild routine, use Dial, Dial, Dial.
Teenagers, you can't see what's happening underneath your makeup, but if you want a clean, clear skin, use gentle Dial soap. Invisible skin bacteria can't spoil your complexion if you wash beforehand with Dial every day. You see, ordinary soaps leave thousands of bacteria that often spread surface blemishes. When you put on makeup, these bacteria are free to cause trouble underneath. But Dial gently clears away up to 95% of them. Dial's the one leading soap with AT7, or hexachlorophene. There's nothing else as good. It clings to your skin, continually retarding growth of new bacteria. That's why Dial protects your complexion even under makeup. Why teenagers, and their mothers too, love mild, gentle Dial soap.
And when we get in Doc's office and get this stockholders meeting started, kiddo, you watch old Dad take over.
Yes, Dad.
And you know why I'll be able to take over the meeting?
Because you can shout louder than anybody else?
No, sir. Because I think. I organize. I plan. When I open up my briefcase and spud all them plans of mine how to divide up that car on the desk, everything from plan A to plan X, I'll have them guys so confused they'll...
Hey there. Hello, Ms. McGee. Hiya, stockholder.
Hello, Lester.
Hi, Les.
I was just by the auto agency up the hill there, and I had me a look at our new convertible, Ms. McGee.
Isn't it beautiful, Lester?
Oh, I tell you, it sure is. It's the prettiest car me and Sally ever owned part of in our life. Tell me, how are we going to work this thing out, Mr. McGee?
Don't you worry about a thing, boy. I got a whole briefcase full of plans here. And whatever I suggest, you vote yes, because we can tie up that... Come on in. Go ahead, Molly. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, here's the rest of our stockholders now. Come in, winners.
Hi, Miss McGee, Mr. McGee. Hi, Mr. Nelson.
Hi.
Hello, folks.
Hi, Wimp. What's the minority report from the minority stockholder, boy?
Well, I guess I don't own very much of that lovely car, do I?
Oh, sure you do, Mr. Wimple. 45 cents worth. 45 cents ain't hay.
Isn't she a beauty, Mr. McGee?
Teeny? Oh, she's okay if you like pigtails, but...
No. He means the car, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
You can see it from the window there, where Mr. Wimple is.
Oh? Let me see it.
Yeah. Hey! Who took it out of the show window up there? Who parked our car out in front of the agency?
Why, the automobile man. He put it out there.
Yeah, I asked him to, sonny boy. Thought we'd all like to see how it'd look from here.
Hey, I sat in it, everybody. I sat in it a while ago, and the man let me blow the horn.
Yeah, you got a cold, too, haven't you?
I put the windows up and down, and I pressed buttons, and I pushed handles.
Yeah. Well, let's get organized here and get down to business, fellas, right?
Right. I got the office door locked and the gone home sign out, so it's all ours. Wally, suppose you be chairman for the meeting.
Me? Oh,
see,
my.
He'd make a good one.
Well, all righty. Now, the question before the house...
We all know what the question is, Wimp, and I got a plan.
I'm majority stockholder, and I've got a plan I'd like to...
Mr. Chairman, I got me a plan,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah? I got 26 plans, you guys, and there they are. Plan A...
McGee, you're out of order.
Nah, just a minute, Doctor. I was going to...
Order, please. Order.
Mr. Chairman, the gavel you're rapping with is my stethoscope.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Order! Now, I've got the floor. Right, Wimp?
The chair recognizes Mr. McGee.
You can recognize that loudmouth at a train caller's convention.
Quiet, Flab. Now, gentlemen, I have 26 plans here. Plan A, I'll buy all you guys out and give you back double your money.
No, sir.
Plan B, we put all our names in a hat. I take the hat, step behind Doc's screen there, and draw a name. If it happens to be one of your names, we'll draw over. But if it's my name, that'll be the one... is as follows. We keep the car in all of our names, and all of us use it according to how much all of us own it.
Well, now, that's the first sensible suggestion you've made yet. I think we're getting someplace.
Yeah, uh-huh. Now we're getting someplace.
You're not there yet, though, so don't get too...
Please, my dear. Now, Doc Gamble owns half the car, so he gets to use it half the time, 12 hours a day.
I'll vote for that.
Les owns a third of it, so Les and I'll put our shares together. His $3 and my $1.30 makes almost half, so me and Les will use it in the daytime while he's at work.
Well, now, I don't know. I work all day.
Wally Wimple owns 45 cents worth, which hardly seems enough to do any driving, so I suggest Wimple be allowed to wash it every week for his share.
Wash it? You mean all you fellas drive it and I wash it?
Hey, how about me, mister? I got a quarter in that car, you know. 25 cents I got in it. Hey, that's what that handle was I pushed on.
Handle? What are you talking about?
When the man let me blow the horn and sit in the car a while ago, and I pushed on a handle, and he said, better not touch that, though. It was the emergency brake. The emergency, because look, there goes our car. It's going down the hill.
Hey, oh, no!
The brake slipped. It happens every day on that hill.
Every day, do something.
Well, yeah. Do something.
Well, come on, let's get out there.
Come on, let's get going.
Look out there. Watch the car.
Don't run out there, McGee. You can't stop it.
Well, we can watch where it goes. Hey, look, it's headed for...
Well, I will be jiggered clean through the front door.
Oh, boy.
That drugstore must be just a mess.
I had a whole quarter in that car. My life savings. Oh, boy, did I ever goof.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. This is John Wald with a suggestion to start your weekend enjoyment tomorrow with NBC's big Friday evening lineup of listening at its best. First, music with two of your favorite people, Dinah Shore and Frank Sinatra. The Dinah Shore Show brings you a delightful quarter hour of after-dinner listening to start your evening off. And the Frank Sinatra Show presents the popular Frankie himself with lots of melody, plus some casual chatter in the relaxing Sinatra style. Friday on NBC also means Dave Garraway in a program that brings you music, news, interviews, and just a little bit of everything, all presented in the informal Garraway manner. It's called Friday with Garraway, and you're invited. And for sports fans, Friday's the night for Cavalcade of Sports. Tomorrow, featuring lightweights Danny Joe Perez and Frankie Reif in a 10-round match from Madison Square Garden. That's every Friday night for the Dinah Shore Show, the Frank Sinatra Show, Friday with Garraway, and Cavalcade of Sports, all on NBC.
Well, thank heavens nobody was hurt, McGee. I couldn't bear to look in that drugstore.
Boy, what a shambles. Hey, you sure hurt old Kramer when he crawled out from under the prescription counter and started wiping castor oil and cough syrup out of his hair. No, on second thought, it's a good thing you didn't.
How'd the car look? Awful?
Oh, there's hardly a dent in it. But the damage to Kramer's drugstore is around $4,000.
Oh, no.
Sure. Settled our problem of how to divide up the car, all right.
You mean?
Yep. We all signed a paper giving it to Kramer. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Wallace Wimple, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, and Robert Easton as Les. This is John Wald moaning over that new convertible and warning you that McGee jumps out of the frying pan into the fire. If you tune in Sunday night, you'll see what I mean. Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.